need you to hold on. Heaven is a place not too far. Leafs Lunch continues. Hour two of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. That was my best Brian Hayes, AB. How did I do? Was it okay? Did you like it?
Brian Hayes? Was it Brian Hayes?
Leafs Lunch continues. Hour two of Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julie okay. Sherry, Al's brother, Mike DiStefano, with you as always. That's Brian Hayes. That's how he goes into Brian the second Hayes. Hour. I'm doing That's the you... thing.
So Love now it. You're taking Thanks. Brian. There it is. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. Speaking of Brian, whoo! I laid a beat down on Hazy B. Team Aldog came out ahead off of our football picks last night. We went 4-1. The only one I didn't get was the Bills game. I knew the Bills
Not
were going to win.
Not you pumping your own tires right now. Gonna,
I always pump my own tires. If I win, I pump my tires. If I lose, I stay pretty quiet and silent. That's all you need to know about me.
And you pack up the lunch that your mom so lovingly packed for you, and you drive okay. home so you don't have okay. to face the Overdrive boys.
All right.
In case you guys missed it, you got 2 hours of Leafs Lunch today because of the absolute madness going on in downtown Toronto right now. Like, Ooh. I have lived here for 5 years, and I talk a lot of smack about Southern Ontario because I'm from Thunder Bay, and I always laugh, like, oh no, we got a shutdown, we got 2 inches of snow, but this is something
feet.
Else.
It's like 2 feet of snow
2 feet.
Out there.
This is a ton of snow, so no hate coming from this Northern Ontario girl today. This is a lot of snow.
Yeah, and like, you're in a condo, right?
Yeah, I've never been happier to live in a little box in the sky. Like, I've oh. never been happier.
Yeah, see, I'm like, in Niagara, like, I'm in a house. So after the show today, I got to go outside, and I got to shovel 2 feet of snow, and I'm just not, like, I have a long driveway. You could fit, like, 9 cars in my driveway. It's very long, and yeah. it'll take me an
Wait,
hour.
Wait, you shovel that? You don't have a plow or anything? Like, on the front of your...
Listen.
On the front of your Hyundai?
Julia, I have an Italian father, okay?
My so do I. He's got a plow.
Okay, well, anytime, the amount of people that have always come up to my dad, and they're like, what, you make your kids shovel your snow, or what? And they're like, why don't you get a plow? You have such a big driveway. You have to get a plow or a ride-on lawnmower, all this stuff. And he literally says, what the heck do I need to spend money on that? I got kids. What do you think I have kids for?
that's the response. That's my boyfriend's family. They've got three strong sons.
Yeah, that's the response. Anytime, anyone, if I ever bring up, why don't we get a plow, or why don't we, like, I've considered buying my parents a snow plow for Christmas, or like a snow blower for Christmas, literally just so that I could use it, because I know that it's going to end up being me or my brother. Like, it's just the way that it is. So it's just, it's tough.
I don't know if we've got any, like, spoiled Italian girls listening right now, but even when I lived in Thunder Bay, my dad would hook me up. Like, the driveway would be plowed. He would start my car for me before I had to drive to high school. He would wipe off the snow. Like, I've never, as much as I talk smack about being from Thunder Bay, I'm not much of a shoveler. It's not really my thing. Or a swiper. Any of that.
There is a new development, by the way, in your life. Did you want to share with the folks?
Oh, like, guys, I got Friday. A new cat. I got yes. a new cat. I was talking about it on Friday. I'd been thinking about it for a while. I got a new little cat. He's kind of named. I've been calling him Mo, like Mowgli. But I'm not totally convinced on it. So if anybody's got really good ideas, fire him off.
I thought you said Mo, like, as in Morgan Riley. Like,
that's what I'm thinking, right. too, because Morgan's kind of, like, one of my favorite Leafs, so I it can go either way. I also really liked Felix, which is a good Leaf name.
Ooh, Felix the cat.
But you know when you know someone named something, and then it just kind of, I know a Felix, and I can't name my cat Felix.
Well,
you know
it's
what
Felix
I mean? You know
the
how
cat. Like, that's what it is, Felix the cat pop band, right?
I know, but I have a friend named Felix also, so in my head it was Felix the cat Poppin, like that would have been his name. But then I also have a friend named Felix, so it just wouldn't have worked. And someone also suggested Soup, which is kind of cute, and I like Soup.
I was going to say, I was literally about to say, have you thought about Soupy?
Soupy? Oh, wait, that's kind of cute. I don't know. He's going to be a really confused cat.
You may have to toss out a poll out there. Yeah, he's been in there for, what, 2 days? He doesn't know his name yet.
I just call him Little Dude, Little Bro. Winnie's Brother is a popular name for him.
Winnie's Brother. That would be unbelievable. Winnie's Brother. You know, I'm curious. I don't believe the guy on the line is a big cat guy. You want to ask him?
Let's bring in Jamie McLennan. Overdrive co-host, TSN hockey analyst, and avid cat lover, right? Right, Needles?
I grew up with three mangy cats, and they were like my mom, like, you know, I don't know. My brother would bring them home, and then he would leave home, and then there would be like, all of a sudden there was three cats and they would fight and there was hair everywhere and it was gross and they would, you know, the cat litter thing or whatever was in the basement and it stunk all the time. Animals don't like me and I don't care for them, but it just, put it that way. I mean, I'm sure they're cool, but they just, the three that I grew up with weren't that cool. There was one that was kind of nice. The other two were awful. So,
I'm surprised.
Well, you know, I don't know.
I'm surprised that the kids haven't convinced you to get a pet throughout this whole COVID lockdown yet.
Well, we have an agreement that when I retire from TV and radio, I will allow them a dog. But that's,
okay.
Hopefully,
nice.
I'm going to be in this game for a while. So, you know, I've bought myself some time. Let's say I'm 50 years old. If I work till I'm 60, maybe the kids will change their priorities at that point. So who knows?
Would you go small dog or big dog, Noodles?
No dog would be the preference, but I don't, probably smaller, but I just,
yeah.
I feel like dogs always have a dirty face and they're, you know, you get a white,
like the
dog,
white crusty dogs.
Yeah. And it's got the foam around their mouth or whatever. And then you get a nice little Yorkie that's got a brown face and then it's black around their mouth cause it's dirty. And who knows? I just, dogs, they need care. They're like an animal. So technically, we have
they
two animals at the house because they're. I know, but my children
they're
are like
an
animals
animal.
Too. My children
yeah,
are animals
like
too. So I've got. We already technically have two animals at the house, and one's 4 years old and one's nine. So I'm good. I'm happy with that.
In conversation with Jamie McLennan. Noodles, you're in St. Louis for Prong's jersey retirement ceremony tonight. Should be a fun one. You got any good stories, like what are your favorites for about Prong's, whether on ice, off ice, with your time together in St. Louis?
We were talking about it last night. So we were playing L.A. one night in St. Louis, and I was lucky enough to get a start. And Prong's was a really vocal player, so he always talked on the ice and kind of directed traffic from back there. So there was we were killing a penalty and the puck kind of was rolling towards me. It was a shot from the point and it deflected off something. It was kind of coming in slow to me, but the puck was spinning. So Prongs was yelling kind of on my glove side. He's like, Noodles, put it here, put it here. So I just kind of like went to kick it over to Prongs so that he could clear it down the ice. And the puck was spinning, and it hit my stick and took off and went right out into the slot. And Rob Blake walked into a one-timer. So Prongs, like, went down and blocked the shot, and it hit the top of his foot. And that was the year he was, like, winning the Hart Trophy and the Norris and was the, you know, best player in the league. So it hits him in the foot, and he screams and turns around and swears at me and gets right up and skates right down the tunnel. So this is in the first period. I'm like, oh, my God, like I just injured the best player in the league. So after the first period, I'm sitting in my stall and I can see through the dressing room. He's laying on the medical table and he's giving me the finger and he's so mad at me.
Oh, my gosh.
So needless to say, he had a little bit of a hairline fracture in his foot that was more inconvenient than anything, but he was more upset because we were going out to L.A. and he had to wear a boot for like 10 days. So it's quite embarrassing. You can't go on the dance floor with a boot. So it was, I hit him twice. He was very upset with me. But, yeah, that was kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff. If I can control rebounds better, we wouldn't have a slight injury there for him.
That's awesome. You know, I know a lot of people from Dryden, Ontario, weirdly enough, and I feel like that's an on-brand reaction, just the lingering middle finger, as he knew you were looking at him.
Guys, yeah, his whole crew are lunatics, so yes, that's how they, that's their, I think O-Dog calls it the O'Doyle wave. I think that's what it is. That's their term of endearment, put it that way.
The Dryden hello.
Yeah.
We've got Jamie McLennan on the phone, Overdrive co-host and TSN hockey analyst, former NHL goalie, obviously, too. Noodles, what's your take on Jack Campbell's game as of late? He's starting to let a few more in, but also the team is starting to make a lot more errors. So how much does that factor into to what we're seeing from Jack recently?
A little bit of hand in hand. You know, here's the thing. He did enough the other night. So he made one extra save than Binnington. I thought Binnington was terrible. I didn't think Jack was great. But he made that right pad save with about 40 seconds left to preserve the win. And that sometimes you just need the goal support. Sometimes you need the save at the right time. The one thing I've been consistent with Jack this year is he's given the goaltending when the goaltending's needed. There's been nights where they haven't been that great, and he's given them those saves so they could settle in. You know, the other night in St. Louis, it ended up being, you know, kind of last shot on goal wins. But, you know, at 5-4, I thought they were in trouble because I didn't love the goal that he gave up at the 5-4. It was short side, kind of, you know, his pads inside the net, and he just wasn't as sharp as we've usually seen him. But then, the team battles back. Matthews ties it, and then, you know, the Mikheyev goal was terrible on Binnington. You know, bad angle shot through the five hole. But, like, you know, so then St. Louis pushes the last 2.5 minutes, and Jack responds. So, yeah, I mean, statistically, has he been great lately? No. Has the team softened defensively a little bit? Yes. But that being said, you know, he's still delivering the type of performances you expect. You know, you're not going to have the best ones every night. But again, I come back to making the saves at the right time. And, you know, he made a right pad save there with 40 seconds left. To me, that's the game. You know, all of a sudden we're looking at overtime, and who knows what's going to happen at that point. So he's built up enough goodwill, I think, with the fan base and certainly with me as an analyst that, you know, I look at the positives instead of just, hey, you know what, it's been a statistically a little bit of a run. And let's not forget, they've played some pretty good teams. You know, Colorado.
Yeah.
Like I mean, honestly, that game was 8-3 if Campbell didn't stand on his head that night. You know, and they end up getting a point out of it. You know, that's the thing. Like, I look at teams that, you know, he's hung in there and gave them an opportunity. St. Louis is a really good team. And, you know, I don't think both teams either had their A game or, you know, at times weren't kind of playing they wanted to play. But it was an entertaining game, and I didn't think it was a goaltender battle. But, again, Jack got it done in the end.
Well, so the Leafs have, what, 4 more games left this month, and they're spaced out quite a bit. I think it's like Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. So it's not like there is a lot of games in so little nights. It's rather spaced out. But do you think that given the massive workload in the first third of the season that maybe we'll see Mrazek a little bit more often going forward, just kind of give Campbell just that extra rest considering he's already set career highs and starts in a season?
I hope so. I don't know if we will, but I hope so. Because you have to have both goaltenders feeling good about their game. And I know there's still lots of time and lots of runway before the playoffs, but, you know, you mentioned, you know, him setting a career high in starts, and there's still a ton of hockey left to be played. So there is going to be a fatigue factor mentally as well as physically. So, you know, they need to get Mrazek rolling into a groove. He doesn't have to play, you know, every second night, but it would be nice for Campbell to have some scheduled nights off where he could just work on his game and some details. And if anything, turn his mind off so he doesn't have to, you know, tax his mind night in and night out. Because as we know, goaltending is 95% mental as far as staying in it and focused and all of that type of stuff. So I would love to see him get some, I guess, calculated rest. But a lot of that depends on if Mrazek can give them the type of goaltending that they expect from him.
Jamie, Michael Bunting was in full form on Saturday night. Definitely the biggest pest on the ice. How annoying would it be to have Michael Bunting in your crease as an NHL goalie? Like, how annoying and how distracting, too?
Every team used to have one. You know, Tyson Nash, who's a friend of our show, a friend of our station, you know, that's how he played. He got underneath people's skin. He drew penalties. He had people chasing him around the ice, so they're worried about chasing him instead of playing their game. So Bunting has a little bit of that. The only thing I would say is at some point, you are going to have to answer the bell. Now, this is back in the day when I played. You know, you had to be a little bit more physical, or somebody would come and pop you in the face, and you might have to fight. I don't know if a fight's in his future, but there's certainly going to be some stinky gloves and a punch here or there. You know, Torrey Krug went after him. There are teams that are going to target him. If he wants to play like that, then at some point he might have to back it up physically. But that being said, you continue to play well, continue to contribute offensively on the top line. you know, he might not be out against players like that, if that makes sense. You know, farther down in the lineup, he's not going to have to face a, you know, a third or fourth line guy who right. plays a more physical game. So be interesting to see, but I think he's played his role to a T, and he's been great value for his contract. So, you know, there's certainly no arguments or question marks beside Bunting's play so far this season. We'll see if he can keep it up here down the stretch.
Well, I'll be curious to see if he's just as big a pest when they take on New York this week. I mean, Ryan Reeves is on the other side of the ice. If you start to piss off the Rangers, you know, they're a team that's going to just send him out, right? They've got last change. They got home change. They could go and they could make an example if they want, if Bunting continues to be a big old pest. I'll be curious to see if that kind of continues this week.
I agree. But then, you know, the challenge is they'll take the trade-off, go, okay, if that's Matthews and Marner and Bunting, and you've got Ryan Reeves' line out, that means your first line versus fourth line.
Yeah,
so
true.
If the, you know, that's a mismatch on paper, certainly. So you have to be mindful of that. If you're Gerard Gallant, you want to send a message, you know, he plays his fourth line quite a bit. So that's not a problem, and they're physical. But that being said, you know, Bunting has to be smart about it, but also the coach has to be smart about of who's on the ice, because you could clearly argue that, okay, Bunting's going to draw a fourth-line matchup just because he plays a certain way. So then Matthews and Marner get a lesser matchup that might be in favor of the Leafs. So I think, you know, it's the chicken or the egg. You've got to be very careful when you're doing stuff like that to try and send a message, because if Bunting just skates away and goes, I'm not fighting you, which he will, nobody's going to fight Ryan Reeves.
Right.
Then now Ryan Reeves has to defend those guys. So it's it's a slippery slope, put it that way.
In conversation with Jamie McLennan, the Canucks, in the midst of what could possibly be the most difficult road trip I think I've seen this season, just the Panthers, the Lightning, the Hurricanes, the Capitals, and then tomorrow night they've got the Nashville Predators. Like, how big of a buzzsaw is this? Have you ever encountered something so difficult in your playing days?
Yes, it just, you know, it used to be murderer's row, we called it, in California, where L.A. and San Jose and Anaheim were like really big physical teams. There was a time where, you know, you rolled through Western Canada where Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary were, you know, really tough teams to play against. Sometimes it just happens, but, you know, I think it's clearly, you know, you don't need anybody to tell you, just look at the standings, how strong the Eastern Division is. And a lot of those teams in the East, especially, you know, the Atlantic, where you do have, you know, both Florida teams. So it is going to be a big challenge for them. Obviously they got the game against, Washington, but even Nashville's a team that you don't sleep on. I've expected less from them this year, but you look at Duchesne's having a resurgence, and their goaltender Saros is fantastic. So it'd be interesting to see. But, yeah, it is kind of a hard run, put it that way, for Vancouver.
We'll keep going around the league. Oh, sorry, go ahead, AB.
Well, I was just going to say, and they finish off the road trip, they get to go home, and they got to play the Panthers again.
I know. Yeah.
Who've scored 16 goals in their last two games.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Well, who would have more fear right now? Edmonton, who hasn't won a game in forever, and then their next opponent is Florida. And, you know, they might get the leftovers of that. So who knows? I mean, it's more of a situation where, you know, Florida's scaring a lot of teams. We'll see how they react on the road here, though.
You just mentioned Edmonton there, Jamie. What's your take on what's going on out there right now? We talked about it a bit with MJ, but Connor McDavid was, like, visibly frustrated after Saturday night's loss, and you can't really blame them.
You know what? I think they can't get a save, first and foremost. They can't
yeah.
get a save. But you know what? Like, I think Connor McDavid has to wear some of this as well. It's his team. Like, I know you can say, well, the way the team's constructed. You know, I watched Ovi for years have good teams, and people say you can't win with Alex Ovechkin. You know, Sidney Crosby's had ups and downs. Like, Connor McDavid hasn't played great in the last 10 games. Maybe statistically
yeah.
there's been a point a game there. You know, if you look at his game, he hasn't grabbed that team and said, you know what, I'm gonna like put this team on my back and get them to the next level. If anything, it's like everyone's making excuses. Well, Connor McDavid has nobody to play with. Poor Connor McDavid. There's a lot of guys that could say that throughout the league. And to me, I look at that team. They got secondary support the other night against, you know, there were guys that haven't scored a lot, Perlinis and guys like that, who found the back of the net. You know who didn't score? Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's what kind of threw me about the attitude. I was like, what are you doing, Connor?
It just, you know, and again, you can look at roster construction. You can look at a lot of things. But I come back to it. I went through their last 15 games. Their goaltending has not outplayed the other goaltender in the last 15 games. That's concerning. We just talked about Jack Campbell giving their team, you know, in Colorado, like a night or hanging his team in there at a big save at the right time. But goaltending, the NHL shouldn't be hockey. It should just be called goalie. Because if you don't have goaltending, you don't have success. And right now, you know, you're up 3-1 heading in the third. You feel pretty good about your game. They allow a goal early. No problem. 3-2. 3-3, the goalie's out making reverse play. Like, you know, who's a 22-year-old goaltender. Like, it should be hard around the glass forehand every time. And how many times in a row now have their goaltenders given pucks to the other team to find the back of the net? To me, that was a TSN turning point. That made it 3-3, and now the team's back on their heels, and Ottawa's feeling good about themselves. So it just, the frustrating part, I'm sure, of those players, they don't trust what's going on between the net, in the net, I mean, between the pipes. So it's a battle, put it that way. So I still believe Edmonton has pieces there that need to get going. But they need a goaltender to develop some consistency there and give them confidence, or they're going to be in some trouble because they're not getting the saves, and it's trickling right through their lineup.
Yeah, and I want to say, I think I saw something come out today that Stuart Skinner ended up in COVID protocol. So
yeah,
it looks like
the net
might
be... Koskinen. They're going to have to play Koskinen next game against Florida on Thursday because Skinner's in COVID protocol. And to be honest, that's the right move anyways. I would start Koskinen. At least right now, he's an NHL goaltender where Skinner's still learning to be one. And it's a big responsibility to hand to a 22-year-old who's still trying to catch up to the speed of the NHL and hadn't skated a lot and haven't played a lot down in Bakersfield. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond because they need to get going. I looked at their schedule. It softens up after Florida, but you still got to get through Florida. And believe me, Florida's playing like the best team in the league right now, as you know, with the other handful, Colorado and Toronto, and you know, there's Carolina. There's five or six teams that are at the top that look like they're, you know, serious. Tampa as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's gonna be a tough one in that game for sure. No matter who's in net, I think. Noodles, thank you so much for joining us today, and enjoy the jersey ceremony tonight, pal.
Yeah, I'm waiting for mine to go to the rafters. I think mine's next. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. I heard Minnesota. The Wilds, I think, are thinking of you.
Yeah, five solid wins for that organization. Yeah, it's all good. All right, thanks for having me.
All right, take care, buddy. There he goes, Jamie McLennan, Overdrive co-host and TSN hockey analyst, and goalie. He thinks the league should be called the goalie. And, of course, you hear that from a former goaltender like Jamie McLennan. But yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I know. Like in his defense,
around.
The stuff between the nets hasn't been looking overly good. Like the entirety of the ice, like between the nets, hasn't been looking overly good for the Oilers as of late either. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just kind of crazy. They've got the two best players in the entire world.
It's a team game.
A mess.
It's a team game. It's not basketball where you can have two guys and they can take over.
But like sometimes you can. Sometimes you can take over.
Right. Every now and then. But what is weird is just how big of a like 180 this team has taken. Like they started the year 16-5, 16-5, and now they can't get a win to save their life. Like six straight in a row, and they don't have a win in 2022. It's not good. Not good for the Edmonton Oilers. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we get back, play some good call, bad call. It's one of our favorite segments that we play here on Leafs Lunch. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's Jude DeSherry. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Take my breath! Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julie DeSherry, Al's brother Mike DiStefano, with you for the second hour of Leafs Lunch today because of the craziest snowstorm I've ever seen in Toronto. And you know what I just realized, AB? It's my mom's birthday today, so shout out, Mom, Queen of Earth. Happy birthday, girl. And my mom always gets a snowstorm on her birthday, to the point that one time in Thunder Bay, the snowstorm was so bad, the city was shut down for 2 days. And it, like, I never got snow days as a kid. I'd be, like, treading through the snow in my little snow pants with the bib on it. Like, we never got snow days.
The bib.
Weren't those awesome? Like, the snow pants with the bib? I should get a pair, honestly. I love to play outside.
I don't know if I had one. I don't know if I had a snow pants with a bib. I
was really?
I honestly, like, I'm still to this day, layers is not a thing for me. I don't like wearing layers.
What?
I don't. So, like, I didn't. I just rocked, well, I don't know, jeans and put on a jacket and away I went.
Oh, you totally wore shorts in the winter.
I didn't wear shorts, but, like, I think I've worn a jacket so far this winter twice.
Yeah, that's actually true. When we were in the studio, I would come with my iced coffee, you would come with your t-shirt, we would both just agree not to talk about it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if I'm going out and I know I'm going to be outside, then I know that I'm going to bring a jacket. But if I'm just going from a car to the studio, back to a car, I could be outside for 10 seconds and be fine and not be uncomfortable. I just find it uncomfortable. I think less layers is where my comfort level is at, and it's just kind of the way that I do.
I think my parents scared me too much. I was always like, it's always the thing is, what if your car breaks down? And yet, so do you keep clothes in your car, maybe a blanket or something?
It's in the car. I got it. My jacket's in the car, like just in case. I just don't wear it. That's all. All right.
You know, let's do a little good call, bad call. It's a Monday. This is usually not a Monday type of thing, but we've got some extra time and we like a little good call, bad call. So let's do it, AB.
It's time for Good Call.
After reviewing the play, we got a goal!
Or Bad Call.
So, put it on straight here!
On Leafs Lunch.
All right, I'll start her off, AB. The last men in vote ends tonight. It's the last chance for you guys, Leaf fans, to get your Tavares votes in. We want to send this guy to the All-Star, so make sure you vote online. And we could debate right now if William Nylander was a better candidate for the last man in ballot, whatever your feelings are on that. But the question here is, good call or bad call, Nylander will be an NHL All-Star at some point during his time as a Maple Leaf.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
Now, this is tough because it includes his time as Maple Leaf, which will be extremely difficult.
Well, yeah, so it's over the next couple of seasons. I'm going to say bad call. Not because he doesn't deserve to be an All-Star, but just the way that the All-Star situation is right now, is like you can really only have like one, maybe if you're lucky, two guys per team. So he's going to be battling with Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, Jack Campbell, Morgan Rielly, John Tavares every single year. And unless they change things up from the three-on-three that they currently have, I just don't know if he can be – like he's having a career year, so this year would have been the season to do it. Marner's having a bit of a down year, but going forward, you got to think that Marner and Matthews and probably Campbell and Rielly would be ahead of him, which means just to fill out the roster to make sure that there's one representative from each team, they're not going to be able to send more than two, at most three guys to the All-Star game, and I don't know if he can work himself into that conversation just based on the amount of talent that the Maple Leafs have.
I was thinking about that. I 100% agree with that stance, but I just think that if William Nylander keeps playing at the pace at which he's playing, you just won't be able to hold him out of an All-Star game. And the Leafs got two guys this year. They're having an awesome year. I think at some point he'll have a better year than JT 1 year. He's like, we talked about this a lot. How
this
William
is
Nylander
year.
Is closing. I don't know if this is the year, because he is closing the gap between him and Mitch Marner with every passing game that he continues to be great. He was quiet over the weekend, but just an amazing season for him thus far. So I say he does it.
So you're going full like Leonardo DiCaprio. At some point, the guy is just performing so well. We need to give him the award. We need to get him to an All-Star game.
Even if it's for, what did he end up getting it for?
The one where he yelled for like 3 hours.
Oh, Revenant, fur trade, yeah. Right, yeah. I don't know, maybe he'll have his Revenant season. I'd like to think so for William Nylander. Mikheyev with the game winner on Saturday, good call or bad call, he will finish the season with 15 or more goals. To preface your answer, he has 5 goals in 7 games. His career high is 8 goals in 39 games. So he's already edging towards there with his hot start.
So how many more games do we have on the year? So we've got 36 games.
Oh, God, who knows? We don't even know what games there are in February.
I know. Well, assuming that they play a full 82-game season, it looks like they still have, 46 games to go? So 46 games to go. Can he score 10 goals in the next 46 games? Yeah, I'm going to say good call. I think 15's like a good number. Like 14.5 would be like the Vegas line. I think that's a pretty good call. I don't know. Like, as of now, he's going at an ungodly rate. He's got 5 goals in 7 games. His shooting percentage is up to 22%. Don't expect for that to continue. But can he score, 10 in his next 40? Yeah, I think he could do that since he scored 5 and 7. And Ilya Mikheyevich is shooting the puck a lot. And when you shoot the puck, good things happen. You saw it happen in the game winner against St. Louis. You just fire it on net. Maybe it finds himself into the back of the net. I think that'll happen at least 10 more times throughout the year. I'm going to say a good call. 15-goal season out of Ilya Mikheyev. Let's go.
You know what? I'm with you on that one. I don't think... I don't know. Like, maybe... Maybe even... We were going to ask if he was just going to get double digits, right? So 15 seems kind of like a lock at this point, AB. Like, I feel comfortable saying that Ilya Mikheyev will score 15 goals.
Okay, maybe I'll walk it back a little bit.
I'm not walking it back.
Just to be devil's advocate, Ilya Mikheyev has had the worst luck in history. Like,
not no more.
It's been bad luck. Not only was he snake bitten his last 2 years, but also just the injury problems. Like, he's been injured a couple of times, and not just for a week or two. Like, these have been long-term injuries. Had that skate laceration 2 years ago, and then had the broken wrist earlier this year. So, there's always a chance that Ilya Mikheyev could find himself on the injured list once again, and that will put a big dent into this issue. So, that is
those
the
were
one
unrelated
thing.
Kind of freak injuries, though. I wouldn't call him an injury-prone guy by any means.
That's probably fair, but it seems to follow him a little bit, the injury bug. So.
Yeah, you're right. On Saturday, we saw Matthews going up against former Selke winner Ryan O'Reilly. Good call or bad call, is there a Selke trophy in Austin Matthews' future?
Ooh, that's interesting. How close has he been? I'm going to look this up really quickly. I mean, Austin Matthews has taken tremendous strides defensively, and I think he could certainly be in the conversation at some point to be there. Has he ever gotten into the conversation? So he has... A couple of years ago, he was 16th in Selke voting. Last year, he was 27th. So that's pretty far down the list. You know who I think, and I know... I'm going to say bad call. I'm going to go with bad call, because I don't even think that Matthews is the most likely candidate to win a Selke on the Maple Leafs.
Who is it?
Mitch Marner. I think Mitch Marner is more likely to win a Selke trophy than Austin Matthews. Like, this guy, which is just amazing when you think about what you expected from Marner coming into his career, I suppose, as just an offensive dynamo. He's turned into a great penalty killer. Not just, an average, a decent penalty. He's a great penalty killer. And I think that his defensive play could, at some point, get him into Selke status. I think he was definitely higher on that list than... I'll quickly look it up. But I'm going to say bad call for Matthews. I don't think he's going to win a Selke.
I'm having a hard time with this one, because I could talk for days and days about how great Austin Matthews' offensive game is, but like, he continues to get better defensively. Like, we saw that one slip in the game against St. Louis when he, hilariously enough, we're talking about Ryan O'Reilly and his Selke. He got burned by Ryan O'Reilly. Ryan O'Reilly went down and scored. But then we saw him make up for it, and obviously, I think he got a bit of an earful for it on the bench, too, AB. Like, I think I saw Sheldon Keefe kind of giving it to him over that, which is fair enough. But he holds his defensive game to a really high standard, so I'd like to think that he'll be at least in the conversation in the next couple years. But I'm probably bad call, too, although I'd love to see him climb to at least be a finalist or something to that effect.
I thought you were going to go good call on that. I thought you'd have a little bit more faith in Matthews there. Usually I'm the cynical one.
I know. But I went so far as to say I hope he finishes as a finalist, but I'm not ready to say he'll win a Selke quite yet.
Mitch Marner, I just quickly pulled it up. Mitch Marner, let's see if he has... So he was top 10 in Selkie voting last year. He finished 10th in Selkie voting last year, 14th a couple of years ago. So, you know, Mitch Marner's starting to get some recognition for his strong two-way play and strong defensive play. So I think that, you know, Mitch Marner might be a name to look out for in the Selkie race in the coming years.
Okay, okay. Bonus on Matthews. Good call or bad call? On pace for 60 goals. Good call or bad call? Does he do it?
Oh, my goodness. 60 goals. Like, for a guy who we were complaining about earlier in the year about having scoring problems.
Such a joke.
What's wrong with him? Why isn't he scoring? They can't score at 5-on-5. They're not scoring on the power play. And now all he does is score 10 straight road games with a goal. It's absolutely amazing. So, yeah, this guy is just defying all things that are normal. And I think he could do it. Like, he just scores in bunches.
I think so, too. I want to go good call. I would love for this to be the year. I'm locking it in. Good call. I wish we had the lock-in sound effect. We'll talk about it.
I'm gonna say bad call on 60. I'm going to
because
go bad call on 60. No, it was a bit of a slow start to the year. He's on pace for this, but look what he's done in the last like 15 games. I don't think this is sustainable, realistically, that he could score.
Why not?
Every
he's been doing it his whole career.
Yeah, he's never scored 60. What are you talking about? He's never done this, ever.
he scores like, night in and night out.
I think he'll hit the Rick Vive number and become the Leafs' highest goal scorer. He'll get that, set that record. But I think like 57, 58, maybe 60. Too many things would have to go right for him. And I mean, he hasn't had COVID yet either, so he could miss a couple of games if that, you know, sneaks in there. Yeah, you never know. You hope not, but you never know.
I guess. You're right.
This bout of COVID. I know we had it a couple summers ago, but people are getting it a second time with Omicron. That's what I meant.
Yeah. I don't know how that whole thing works, honestly. Okay, last one. Good call, bad call. The Leafs will have a completely different second D pairing next season. I'm going good call on this.
Completely different? As in...
No, like, Muzzin.
Not even Muzzin?
I don't know.
Bad call. Muzzin's going to be there. I'll tell you that. Muzzin will be there, so I don't see them moving off
of him.
Is that
just as a result of the contract, or does he deserve to be there still next season?
If they could find a reliable pairing, like a reliable partner, I think he still deserves to be there. Like,
I don't know.
He looked decent with TJ Brody. Remember when Brody and him were playing together a little bit? So I think if he has a legitimate top four D pairing.
Yeah, someone to babysit him. I don't know if he
babysit. Come on, you're throwing so much shade at my guy.
I'm just kidding. I'm not throwing shade. I'm just feeling loose. We're at home. It's a snow day. Like, I don't know. I'm just feeling loose.
I'm gonna go bad call. I think. Yeah, I think Muzzin will still be there, so it won't be completely different, but he will have a different partner. I'd be shocked if they go into next season with Justin Hall as his D partner on the second pair. I would be shocked.
This isn't on the sheet in front of me right now, but is Justin Hall a Leaf next season?
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Bad call?
I'm going bad call. We were just talking to Josh Cloak, AP, about how good the Leafs prospects are coming up. We've seen Sandin. Sandin is playing awesome this year. Liljegren's playing awesome this year. That'll be their second pairing in the next couple of years, I think.
One of Hall or Dermott, I don't think, will be on this roster next
season.
They both are under contract, but I don't think both will be on the roster.
No. Both of them don't fit anymore, but I agree with one of them does. So maybe Justin Hall will be a Leaf next year, but I think if he is, Dermott probably won't be.
Yeah.
And that's on good call, bad call. We went off the board there a little bit, AB.
Little bit. That was a good one. Like,
that was a good one. I liked it. We're firing toughest... on all cylinders there.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Is Justin Hall going to be a Maple Leaf past this season? That's the question. Maybe toss it out there into the Twitter sphere. See what people think about that one. All right, we got one more segment to go in our two-hour Leafs lunch extravaganza, and we're bringing in Luca Celebre, your pal from Bar Down, who made his debut on the CHL on TSN panel on Friday night. So we'll see how he did and get his opinions on how that all went and some more. See if he's got any ODR plans, too. I know, you know, Luca, one of the goats of the outdoor rinks, and it's a snow day. It's a snow day of all snow days, so we'll see if he's got some plans for that. So we'll catch up with Luca when we return. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's due to Sherry, listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
Welcome back to the two-hour edition of Leafs Lunch on this snow day of a Monday. Julia Teixeira, Al's brother Mike DiStefano with ya. We'll have Luca Celebre on in just a moment. Apparently, AB, first of all, we got Doug Ford snowing with like a beach sand shovel, getting cars out. We've got people pushing TTC buses down the street. But apparently, your dedicated Toronto Maple Leafs all made it to practice. John Tavares said he took an hour to shovel his driveway and make practice. Luckily, he has a truck, he said. Alex Kerfoot's compact little car didn't make it to practice. He had to call an Uber, which would... I don't know. I feel like calling an Uber would be more dicey today. But yeah, everybody made it. They carpooled and braved their way to practice. So shout out to the Leafs down in Etobicoke at the Ford Performance Center who made it to work today, unlike a lot of people in this snowpocalypse.
Yeah, shows they care, right? Shows they care. I mean, I definitely did not care to... I wouldn't, I don't know what
you
did.
You didn't not care. We're set up from home.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to make it into the studio. Like, that's insane right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's bring in my buddy Luca Celebre from Bar Down. Now, Luca, it wasn't his live TV debut, but Luca, Jesse, and DZ, the Bar Down boys, made their CHL on TSN debut on Friday. CHL back on TSN. The broadcast was awesome on Friday. And we had our first Bar Down exceptional status panel. So, Luca, I know you guys looked polished on TV. Pull back the curtain a little bit. Jesse, live TV, makeup. Like, what were the behind-the-scenes shenanigans that went down before that?
Oh, you know Jesse is... I mean, at first, before when we were talking during the week, like, me and Z were like, yeah, we're going to get makeup because, like you said, we've kind of been grateful enough to do a couple of things on TV before, and Jesse was like, nah, like, I'm okay. And then I think he reconsidered, like, the night that later on that night and was like, yeah, I'll do makeup. And so, yeah, I think he was just getting into the groove of it more as it went around. But honestly, it was just a lot of great vibes between us, and we're looking forward to doing more. Just not just us, but our whole group.
Go ahead. No, we're too polite, AB. It was a Canadian moment. We both handed it off to one another. Jesse pulled out some props, Luca. Like, was that planned? Did he have the shades on hand? It was so on brand. It was just the best. I loved it.
It was perfect. It was totally him. He brought the props, and he's upped his game. Now I know that, you know what? Okay, props are on the table. Now we know that props are on the table. Didn't know going in, and he just kind of showed up with them, put them on. I had figured the Winnipeg Ice jersey was going to make a debut of some
kind.
Because it's a tattoo, but the shades was a really nice surprise. He looked very Showtime in them.
Very Showtime indeed.
Look, I gotta ask you this question, because, you know, Bar Down, I think the kings of the ODR and the outdoor rinks. Today is the snow day of all snow days. You plan on braving it out there and trying to find yourself some ice to go and skate on today, or is it just a sit inside kind of day?
So today is a sit inside kind of day, but here's what I will say, and I'll open this up to you guys as well, because I know this is a popular debate amongst anyone that plays hockey or has played outdoor hockey. Me personally, I'm more of an outdoor lake rather than outdoor rink kind of guy.
Right.
For the simple reason that I've got a whole body of water to skate on. I can shovel off any area I want and just always be skating. Even if we have like 20 people out there playing a game, there's always an area to skate. Whereas an ODR, jam-packed, you're playing like 8-on-8 with no goalies and hidden posts, and I'm just like... I'm going to be freezing cold just waiting for my turn to even skate and touch the puck. So I am just get out to an outdoor lake, but I want to hear what you guys have to say about that argument.
Well, you know what? Outdoor lakes are a lot better than indoor lakes. So I'm definitely in on the outdoor lake. No, I totally agree, Luca. I'd way rather, I think, a lake than just for the same reason as you. Also, isn't it so fun? And this doesn't work today because there's like a dump of snow, but isn't it so fun? Like just the most immaculate moment in nature when there's no snow on a lake, but it's completely frozen, and you've got like just the most perfect ODR in the world. Like, those are truly moments of magic.
it's incredible. I look at all these Instagram videos and I see like the one where you can see the CN Tower or whatever.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where are these? Because I've never skated on one of those before and I really want to. It looks just majestic and beautiful and it'd be like this unforgettable experience for any hockey player.
Totally.
Yeah, I to me, there's and I don't know where these are. Like, I do see these videos and stuff and TikToks all over Twitter and Facebook. I'm like, where are these rinks? I have never actually been able to find them and skate on them. Luca, before we let you go, so we didn't get into this at all today, but I wanted to because it's – so you're
because
a football guy.
Because you picked
guy.
Well this week.
Well, I did pick well. It's besides the point. It's besides the point. I did go 4-1 on my football picks, but hey, nice. who's bragging? Me. That's who's bragging. But I do want to ask you because I saw this being floated around on Twitter. The Leafs – they say the Cowboys are the Leafs of the NFL. Do you like that comparison? Like, I don't know. I don't think that's a good comparison at all.
It's an interesting one. From the heartbreak perspective, I can understand it because I'm making a TikTok reel as we kind of go throughout this day of the Cowboys' most heartbreaking playoff losses in the last 25 years. And they've had some pretty heartbreaking ones. There was the Romo botched field goal. A 19-yard field goal would have put them up against Seattle in 06, 07 that season. Green Bay beat them twice in heartbreaking fashion where they gave Aaron Rodgers 30 seconds and he marched them down the field. And then the Dez no catch. There was a loss to the Giants. They beat them both times that season. They were the top seed, lost to the Giants. And then yesterday. So, like, from heartbreak perspective, I guess there's sort of a comparison. But I don't know. As like expectations over the last 25 years, I've never gone into a playoff run, and no matter where the Cowboys are seated, and been like, you know what, that team is the number one seed. Like they should make it to a championship game, or they should win the divisional round. I haven't personally. I don't know if you feel differently, but the Leafs have higher expectations, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like, I look at the Cowboys, like they've only made the playoffs two of the last 5 years. I'm like, the Leafs are a perennial, you know, favorite to make the playoffs each and every year, and they're expected to win rounds, and I think that's something that's the difference between the two. The Cowboys, they make it to the playoffs, you know, every couple of years, but they're not really expected to do much, and that goes back to your expectations point. I think a lot of people just look at it as two of the most public teams in the
blue
NFL
and
in the NHL. Yep. They're both blue and white, I guess. You can make that comparison as well, and that's why people make this comparison, but honestly, I don't see it, but that was quite the L the Cowboys
took last
night.
Couldn't believe that ending. It was just insane.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think we have enough time to break that down, but yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page there because I think Jesse tweeted that out, that they're the Maple Leafs of the NFL, and I'm like, I don't like that comparison. I really don't like it. Luca,
that's fair.
Yeah, I think so. I'll tell him that right to his face. Luca, really appreciate you joining us here, buddy. Enjoy the day and stay warm.
You guys too. Thanks for having me.
Take care. There he is, Luca Celebre from Bar Down. And yeah, you'll get to watch him again this Friday when they're back on and making the – is this a weekly the exceptional
It'll
panels?
It'll
be weekly with the
yeah.
Bar Down crew, right? Yeah, so on Friday. And I think Connor Bedard's on the game this weekend.
It is.
Yeah, so that'll
be
a fun one.
It's the Regina Pats.
That'll be a fun one. All right, we got to take off. We got to take off because we're getting to the 2 o'clock hour here. But it was a fun one. You know, we didn't wake up knowing we were doing 2 hours today, but we got
We didn't even eat lunch knowing we were doing 2 hours today.
No,
however,
we didn't eat lunch.
11:45. Oh no, Liam brought me a sandwich. I don't know about you.
No, I didn't get a sandwich. I did see you got a sandwich, and I watched you eat it in front of me, and I was really jealous. But
you didn't call me out even.
No, calling you out now. Calling you out now. About an hour and a half late, but calling you out now. All right, Julia, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike DiStefano for Jude DeSherry. Listen to Leafs Lunch. Matt Cause will be back with gameplay tomorrow.